Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chuf Ches. We will begin on Daf Kuf Chuf Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Shalach Le'i Reb Abba Le'Reb Yosef Ben Chama. Reb Abba sent to Reb Yosef Ben Chama. Ha'im L'chaveri, if somebody says to somebody else, Abdi Ganafti, you stole my Eved. For who Aymer? And the person responds, Lo Ganafti, I didn't steal it. So he says to Mativ Etzlach, why is this Eved with you? To which she responds, Atam Chartali, you sold this Eved to me. You gave it to me as a gift. And the Rashbam makes the point that under normal circumstances, a person doesn't have a chazakah on an Eved. The fact that I'm holding on to an Eved doesn't give me a chazakah, because Avodim, slaves, are independent and they can come and go as they please. So why is that considered? Why is it considered that the fact that I'm holding on to the Eved, even though we spent many shurim learning that koma shatach yad adam shloihu, anything I'm holding on to is mine, we also learned that that claim is only a valid claim in where there is a legitimate chazakah. Why over here is there considered a legitimate chazakah? So Rashbam gives three different ways of explaining the Gemara. One way he suggests is that what the Gemara here means to say is that he's been holding on to the Eved for 3 years. If he's been holding on to the Eved for 3 years and there was no claim, that's a proof that the Eved is his, because why didn't you protest in these 3 years? Another pshat the Rashbam suggests is that the Eved that we are speaking about here is an Eved who's a young child in the crib. Why did we say there are no chazakas on Eved? The reason we explain that there are no chazakas on Eved is because Eved, as we just said, is independent. But we can't, and could come and go as he pleases. We can't say that by a young child. Third pshat that the Rashbam suggests is that the person making the claim does not have edim, does not have witnesses that could back his claim. So the person who is saying, the person who's responding, could have said, Lo hayu dvar ma'olam, I don't have your Eved. But he doesn't say it, and therefore he has a migui. He says, Pesha asa pesha hitter. Yes, I have your Eved, but I bought the Eved. So at that point, the person who's holding on to the Eved says to the person who's making the claim, Ritzoin chashava v'tol. The halacha is that throughout Shas, whenever there's a shvua, and here's not even necessarily a case where a shvua is warranted, but even where there is a shvua, the way it works with a shvua is that the person who makes the shvua makes a shvua and he's potter. And what happens here is just the opposite. The person who makes the shvua is going to be able to collect the Eved, because that's what this person is willing to give up. Ritzoincha hishava v'tol nishba, and he did swears. At that point, any yochalachzboy, the person who made this offer, can't say, as we sometimes have in Shas, Meshat Anibach, I wasn't serious about this. Once he made the offer, and certainly it was carried out, he has to fulfill his agreement. There is a Machloikas Rishonim. Here the Gemara clearly indicated that if the Shvua that he was offered to make was made, then you have to follow whatever arrangement you agreed to. What happened if the person retracts on his offer before the shvua was made? Does he still have the ability to retract at that point? Or is the halacha that once the offer was made, you can't go back? That is a machloikis of Rishonim. There's also another discussion here that the Rishonim and Achronim make, and that is the issue of a Shvuas Heses. That the halach is that if somebody makes this type of a claim, even if there is no Shvua Daraisa, there is a Shvuas Heses. And why are we not focused on that? And the Rishonim say that we're going to have to explain that the Gemara here is speaking about a case before the Shvuas Heses was accepted. So ask the Gemara, Ma Kamashmon, what is Rav Abba coming to teach us? And as the Rishonim point out, even though the sugya that we're learning now really is not connected to the sugyas that we're learning about Hilchus Yerusha. But since we're going to be learning a number of halachas that Rabbi Abba taught, and one of the halachas is related to what we're learning about Hilchus Yerusha, so the Gemara teaches us these halachas about Rabbi Abba, that Rabbi Abba taught as well. But the question is, my kamashmalan, what is Rabbi Abba teaching us, Tanina? The halacha that Rabbi Abba taught us is already taught us in a Mishnah, Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Dal Ramar Aleph, where the Mishnah says, Amaloi, if there are two people, there are two litigants in a Din Torah, and as the Gemara over there explains, the way a Din Torah is conducted sometimes is with Zabla, Zebair Layechad, Zebair Layechad, each one of the parties chooses a Dayan, a third party, and then they each choose their own Dayan, they each choose their own Bayram, and then the two Bayram choose a Shlish. And somebody says, Naman Alay Abba, I accept my father to be a Din Torah. Naman Alay Avicha, your father should be a Din Torah. Naman Alay Shlosh Roy Bakr. Throughout Shas, Shlosh Roy Bakr, people who are shepherds, are the example of people who are Amaratzim, who don't know, who are not Talmid Chachamim, and normally they're not qualified to be Dayanim, but here they accept it upon themselves. And there's a machlokes in the Rishonim how to understand who the Shloisha Raya Bakar are. Because in Halacha, there are two different categories. There's a category of individuals who are Shloisha Raya Bakar, who, as we said, are Amiratzim, not Talmid Chachamim. And then there's Shloisha Raya Tzoyim, who are considered Ganovim, not honest people. And the question that the Rishonim discuss, why would be that, is this halacha strictly speaking about Shloisha Raya Bakar? But Shloisha Raya Tzoyin cannot be accepted as Dayanim under any circumstances? Or is the halacha that just like Shloisha Raya Bakar can be accepted if both parties are in agreement, so too would be the halacha by Shloisha Raya Tzoyin? Neman alai Shloisha Raya Bakar, Remeyam Yochalach Zboi, once the offer was made, you could still retract. The Chum Aimrim, any Yachalach Zboi, that you can't retract. Once you made this offer, which you weren't obligated to make, you can't go back. So isn't that duplication of what we just learned in our Gemara? Answers the Gemara, Ha Kamashmon, the Be'etan Lach Machloikis. That the Machloikis between Remeyam and Chachamim is in a case where he said, Machalach, I'm Michael, that I'm forgiving the fact that you're choosing Dayanim who are disqualified. But in a case that Etenloch, as we just started our shiur today, that even where the person is ready to give up something that is truthfully his, the loch is that even in such a case where it was a very, very generous offer, the loch is Eniyoch Alachzabai, you can't retract. And Rav Abba comes to teach us that we take that halacha so far, like the Chachamim, that if you made this offer, and certainly if it was carried out, as we said, some Rishonim say, even just the offer alone is enough, that the halacha is considered Chachamim, that is the halacha. So says the Gemara, another halacha that Rav Abba taught us. Sholach Rav Abba, Rav Yosef Bachama. Halacha, goivim min avodim. If somebody passed away, and he left avodim kananim, the halacha is that, and he owed money, the people to whom he owed money could collect their debt from the avodim kananim. Verav Nachman Amar Ein Goyvin, we can't collect from avodim kananim. Because as the halacha is, that midaraisa, you can't collect debts that a father owed only from karka, not from metatlin. And not a question that the Gemara is discussing, is that, is Avodim considered like Karka, or Avodim considered like Metatlin? So Rav Abba's opinion is that Avodim, like we have throughout Shas, are Hukish L'Kakos, are considered halachically like Karka. So just like the debt can be collected from Karka that the father left over, so too would be the halacha regarding the Avodim. Rav Nachman says that avodim aren't like karka. Avodim are movable. Karka is not movable. I the halacha that we have throughout Shas that avodim are compared to karka. So the Tosis explains that that is only regarding dine deraisa. But here we're not speaking about dine deraisa. It's only regarding the halacha of kinyonim that we know, that we learned many times, karka could be purchased. The kinyon and karka is the kes mishtar v'chazaka. So there, avodim have the same halacha, but not regarding any other halachic aspect. This halacha is not that relevant because, as we've quoted in previous shurim, there's a takonas hagoinim that even though midaraisa only karka could be used to pay off debts that are owed by a deceased father, the halacha is that the goinim instituted that even metatlin that the father left over can be used to pay off the debt. Another halacha. Shalach, and this halacha speaks to who are considered relatives who are therefore disqualified to say edus, and who are not considered relatives and therefore are not disqualified. Shalach Reb Abba Reb Yosef Bachama. Halacha. The halacha is shlishi, somebody who is a third generation, the sheni, with somebody who is a second generation, kosher is kosher to say edus. In other words, if you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, so they're the first generation, the grandson of Reuven is kosher to say edus in the son of Shimon. That Shimon's son is a sheni, is a second generation. Reuven's grandson is a third generation. And the Gemara is teaching us that that type of relation is the halacha, is not considered a relationship. And, says the Gemara, that say to Rishonim, the halacha would be that the same would be a sheni b'sheni, that first cousins once removed could say edus. Rav Amar apparition, that a shlishi, the grandson of Shimon, could say edus for Reuven, but for Reuven himself, the grandson of Reuven, could say edus for Shimon, because Shimon is the first generation, and Reuven's grandson is the third generation, and that's kosher. Shlishi Berishin would be kosher. Ma'abravashi, Achshabab da Abba. So now Ma'abravashi takes this one step further. If we're learning now that third generation to first generation are not considered relatives, so he says, then one could say edus for his edus for his grandfather. His grandfather's first generation, and he would be third generation. But however, says the Gemara, even though we're being lenient with first and third generation, not for a grandfather, because less halachas k'mar Ravashi, because as the Rashbam explains, that the halacha is that b'nei bonim harayam k'bonim, that grandchildren are considered like children, so it's not considered like a situation of shlishi berishin. The Tosfos, as Rabbi Chanan explains, says you can't argue that this is in reality a situation of shlishi berishin. But Tosfos explains that Rabbi Chanan explains what Tosfos means to say, that there's a certain closeness that exists between a grandfather and a grandson, and that closeness prevents them from being able to be Edom. Certainly, it seems, and the Rosh says this, that if it would be a fourth generation, a fourth generation to a first generation, that means a great-grandson, the halacha is that it may be permissible, the Rosh says, because now we don't have either Tosfos pshat that closeness, or we don't have the vart of b'nei bonim kibonim. Continues the Gemara with another halacha, regarding Eidus. Shalach Reb Avler of Yosef Bechama. Hayyadele be Eidus al Karka. Somebody was able to say testimony about a piece of property. The testimony that the Gemara here is referring to is there's a piece of property that's under discussion, and there's a dispute to the exact dimensions of this piece of property. Hayyadele be Eidus Karka. Actually, there was somebody who could say testimony about this piece of property before he became Rachman Slam blind, and Devin Nistama, and he became blind. And because he became blind, now the question is, can he say Eidus or not? So the Gemara says, he's possel. So the Rashbam explains, what is the disqualification here? He recognizes the dimensions before he became blind. That he says that the Rashbam explains that a person who can't actually see what he's testifying about is not able to be clear in his testimony. And since he's not able to be clear in his testimony, that's why he's possible for Eidus. And that's the approach that the Rashbam takes to this Gemara. There are other Rishonim whose approach to this Gemara is that Eidus, a person who's blind, is a psul guf. It's an inherent disqualification. The Torah says that such a person can't say Eidus. The Shmuel says that he's kosher. Efshe de makaven mitzrano. He can remember and know the borders, the dimensions of the property he's saying testimony. Avil glima. If the issue that we're discussing is a garment, so even though he saw this garment before he passed away, but again, the Rashbam's pshat, since there are many garments that are similar to each other, so the issue is, even if he could say testimony based on his memory of what this garment that discussing is all about, there may be other garments that are similar, and therefore, unless he could actually see the garment in front of him and say, I know that this is the garment that's being discussed, we can't accept his testimony. Rashesh Summer, Afilu Glima. Even by a garment, can we accept the testimony that one saw when he was blind? Because Efshad Mechavim Midas Arkay Midas Rachbay, he could still recall the exact dimensions of the garment. And since he could remember them, that's enough for him to say testimony. Avol Nascha, when we're speaking about a bar of silver, a bar of gold, there they typically have, just again, the way the most Rishonim explained the Gemara, they typically have standard sizes, and since they have standard weight, so just saying that I know that this bar of silver, gold, weigh that much, is not going to be accepted testimony. Rapapama afilu naska, even by a bar, You may have standard weight, but you don't have standard size. And if this blind person is able to talk to the size, to the dimension of this bar, so that again, even though now he can't see it, but he was able to see it, and he's able to recall what he saw, that would be satisfactory. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Brice in Masechta Erech and David Zayin Amar Beis tells us, if somebody knew testimony about somebody else before he became a son-in-law, and then Nasa Chasonoi, and then he became a son-in-law, and the halach is that a son-in-law is a relative that is possible to say Eidus, or Bikeach, somebody knew testimony where he could still hear and speak, and now Rachman Tzolov and Nescharish, he became a deaf mute. And it's important to point out that when the Gemara speaks about these types of individuals, we're speaking about somebody Nescharish is a deaf mute. A deaf mute is possible for Eidus. Or Piteach, he was a person that could Baruch Shem see. And then Nistama, he became blind. Shafui, he was a person of clear intelligence. And then Nishtata, afterwards. All these cases, apostle, he can't say Eidus on what he knew from before he became disqualified. The Rishonim point out that the Gemara and Masechta Gittin, we know, begins with the halacha that if somebody brings a get, a shlich who brings a get from Chutz Laretz has to testify b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam. The halacha is that if somebody was appointed to be a shliach when he was perfectly fine to be a shliach, and then Rachman Litzlan, one of these disqualifications happened to him, the halacha is that he could still say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. And the question is, didn't we just learn that even though you were kosher, once you become disqualified, you become disqualified? So how do we understand this halacha? So Tosfos answers that the whole halacha, as we learned Masechta Gittin, b'fanei nechtav, making that declaration is only din derabbanan. And mishum eguna, in order that the woman should be able to be properly divorced, ikula bar rabbanan. Avol, continues the braisa, if somebody knew testimony before he became the son-in-law, and then nasa chasanai, and then he became a son-in-law, and then mesabitai, and then the daughter passes away, so he obviously is not a son-in-law anymore. And the Rashbam points out that when is this halacha that we're about to learn relevant? Only if there are no children left from that marriage. If some opinions say to Rashbam, if there are children left from the marriage, even though the wife is no longer unfortunately alive, she's still considered a relative. Other Rishonim say that no, the halacha is that whether there are children or not, the being a son-in-law is connected to being married to the daughter. And if as long as they're not married to the daughter anymore, he's not disqualified. Similarly, if somebody pikeach was able to hear and speak, and then the scharish because of nispeach pitach, he was able to see nistam, he became blind because of nistbach shofui, he was intelligent and nishtafa because of nishtafa, and all these cases kosher. Since at the point that he's coming to say edus, right now he's okay, so that's all that counts. And the Gemara and the Braisa summarizes Zeklal Kosher Tchilasa is Soifer Bepaslus. Anyone who at the beginning or at the end is a disqualified aid, Pasul, can't say testimony. But if Tchilasa V'Soifer Bekashrus, if at the beginning or at the end of the testimony, he's fine, he's kosher. So we see that we don't accept testimony from a blind person under any circumstances. Tiyufta tekula. So isn't this a question of all those opinions that we stated earlier that under certain circumstances we'll take the testimony of a blind person on a garment and on a piece of land? Answers the Gemara, indeed, tiyufta, that opinion has been refuted. The Gemara Masechta Chulin, that Tzadik Vav Amud Beis teaches us that an aid to a murder must be able to testify with tefiyas ayin. He has to be able to identify the murderer, knowing his features. If he only is able to testify that I know the murderer because he has some sort of a mark on his body, that would not be acceptable aidus. Says Tosfos that the same halacha applies regarding monetary issues. When you need to identify an article, Edim are only believed to say something when we are talking about a disputed article, if they have tfias ayin. But if they're only able to give some sort of a simon, that would be unacceptable. Tosfos says that even though we learned in Masechta Metzia that we do accept simonim, that's only regarding a lost article. Because a lost article, a Shabbos Aveda, is different than most other situations. And the cases that we typically speak about in Taira is there's somebody who's muchsik, who's holding on to something. And as we began our shiur today, somebody who's a muchsik, somebody who's holding on to something, is in a very strong position. And if you want to take it away from him, you have to be able to have a very strong proof. Where Eda, when we have an Aveda, we have something lost, there is no Muchzik, and therefore the Halach is that you don't have to have the same level of Simonim are enough, you don't have to have Tfiyas Ayin. Points out the Tzois, that when our Gemara speaks about the different disputes and the Simonim, so our Gemara seems to say that a Simon is sufficient, and that's why these people are able to say Eidus. So Tzois, in order to explain Tzois' opinion, says there's a difference between metaltlin and karka. When we speak about karka, the concept of muchzik is not the same as when we speak about a metaltlin. And therefore, it's where it says the tzois, that although a simen would be sufficient for land, it may not be sufficient for metaltlin. But the question the Ktzois is, Al Gemara didn't only speak about land. Al Gemara also spoke about Glima and Nascha, which are metatlan. Says the Gemara, Shalach Lei, Reb Abel, Reb Yosef Bechama. Heimer, if somebody says, and the Gemara is going to explain this soon what this means. Heimer, Al Tinek Ben Abonim, Neman, Reb Yochanan Amar, Einen Neman. So ask the Gemara, my comer, exactly what was meant with this statement. Amar Abaya, says Abaya Hachikomer. What was meant with this statement was Haimal Tinik Berebonim. If somebody says on one of the children, this is my son, and Yirish Kol Nechasai, I want this son to take all of my assets, Neman. He could say so. Why? Because the fellow's opinion that we've had and we're going to have, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Mabroika. Rabbi Yochanan Mabroika's opinion is that even though, as we have been learning, the Torah is very clear in establishing the halachas of Yerusha, but Rabbi Yochanan Mabroika says that if you choose somebody who is a Yairish to get more or less than he deserves, that is acceptable. So here he's saying that somebody who's a son should get a bigger share, that he could do. Rabbi Yochanan says, ain't a neman, but can't do so, because Rabbi Yochanan follows the opinion of the Rabbanon, that just because this individual is a Yairish, doesn't give me a right to change the rules of Yerusha. Masklav Rava asked Rava, hi neman, the ain't neman. So the wording of what Rabbi Abba said doesn't really fit, because Rabbi Abba used the words neman, the ain't neman. What he should have said, Yirish v'lo Yirish mebe'alei, if the way you are explaining, it's referring to Hilchos Yerusha. Ela Marava says Rava Hachkama. What Rabbi Abba meant to say was Ha'imal Tinik Ben Abonim. If somebody says regarding one of his children that he is the Bechor, even though, as we learned, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, that if there was an older brother who was accepted till now was muchzik, that he was the bechor, the father has the ability through the special halacha of yaker that he could identify this one as the bechor. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that is even in a case where the child is a muchzik, there was a brother who was a muchzik. Rabbi Yochanan says you can't do that, even though a father has nemanis, that nemanis doesn't exist in a case where there's a chazaka that there's another brother who is an older brother. The Tosfos Rit points out, however, that even though we're giving the father, Rabbi Yehuda gives the father this nemanis, even in a case that's muchzik, there's a difference, he says, in halacha between somebody who's muchzik versus someone where it's a Dover Borer, where we know for certain that this individual is an older brother. There, the halacha would not accept the fact that he's muchzik, that the father could make the statement. Says the Gemara, Shalcha Rav Abel Rav Yosef Bechama, Haimer, if somebody says, Titel Ishti Kechem Rabbonim, as we've discussed many times, a wife, midaraisa, is not entitled to any Yerusha. But if this person says, I want my wife to get a share like one of my children, the halach is natalis, like one of my sons, natalis kecher abonim, she will be entitled to get such a share in the Yerusha. To which Rava points out, where can this halacha be said? That's only ben nechasim shel achshav, in assets that the father has, that this man has at that time. Any assets that will come later, and that he can't make this statement, because the halach is, ein adam makna dava shalaybalaylam. So if the man who's making this statement doesn't own those assets, of course, she won't get in that assets. So the Rishonim asked the question, of course not. There's a halacha that we've learned many times, that ain't other makta dava shalaybalaylam. What is the Gemara, what's Rava coming to teach us? So the answer is that since he connected her share to the share of the sons, and in those assets that will come later, and then the father will pass away, of course the sons will be Yarshim. So maybe we would think that that should help for what he has now. Teaches us the Gemara, teaches us Rava that we don't say that, and what he doesn't have, they doesn't, it doesn't help. What will be that there will be more sons born? The father made this declaration that I want my wife to be a Yerusha, but to get a share, and we said any assets that come later he doesn't get, and also if there are children that are born afterwards, so she could say, he wanted me to share with the existing children. Any children that come later, the halacha is that that we have to take into consideration, and she doesn't have a right to say, well, those children weren't included in the original statement that the father made. And the bottom line, as the Rashba, as I saw the Rashba and other Rishonim say, that Yad Ha'isha El Tachtoina, the father, this man is trying to give his wife assets, but even though the wife is being given this privilege, it's always to a detriment, and the halacha is that it doesn't make her into all the a full-fledged Yairish. As much as the Gemara here has somewhat been strict with the wife, I saw that the Michas Yitzchak and the Shalos Hatshuvos Michas Yitzchak, Chele Gimel Simen Kuf Lamed Hei, says that even though we're learning in our sugyas the halacha of Yerusha, we're learning the halachas of Yerusha, still explains the Michas Yitzchak, and the halacha is that, and we're going to be speaking about these halachas of Mitzvah, that we have to be careful about Hilchas Yerusha, and we have to try to make sure that Midaraisa, the halachas of Yerusha, are followed. But says the Michas Yitzchak, since we find throughout Shas that Chazal go out of the way to protect the position of a wife, included in what Chazal meant to do throughout Shas that way is that a husband protecting his wife in his estate for when he passes away is something that the halacha looks very favorably on. Continues the Gemara. Sholach lei Rav Abba Rav Yosef bar Abba b'chama. If somebody presents a document that somebody owes him money, Malva Omer, and the lender says, Loi nefrati klum, I have not been paid back at all. The Loi Omer, but the loiva says, Prati machza, and I paid half. I pay back half of the debt. The Edim, and there are Edim that are able to say, the Edim shepar kula, that he paid up entirely. Hareza nishba. So we know there's a din in the Torah, a moedav mixus. Moedav mixus means that if somebody admits to a partial claim, the Torah says that you have to make a shvua. And here,
the halacha is that he's a moed of a mixus. But it's not your standard case, a moed of a mixer, because here he's saying that he has Edom backing up that he paid up the entire chayv. Says the Gemara, still the halacha is hareza nishba, he will be considered a moed of a mixus, and goyv a mechza, but the malva could collect the 50% that the loiva admits that he owes. But even though normally we know that a malva could collect even from the chosim mishabodim, assets that were mortgaged to this loan, here only from the chosim b'nei chayrim can the malva collect. Aval m'nechosim mishabodim, from the chosim mishabodim, he can't collect. Loi. Damri, because the people who are holding on to the mishabodim could claim anan aedim sabchinen. There are Edom that say that the loan was paid up. So you have no right to come after us when the Edom say that this was completely paid up. Says the Gemara, Vafila Rebekiva de Omar, Meshav Vedhu. The Gemara beginning of Masechta Baba Metzia Daf Dalet speaks about a case that where there's a document that says one person borrowed from another person Sloyim Dinrim. Sloyim, coins, Dinrim. But it doesn't say how many. So the Malva says he borrowed 5 coins. And the Loiva says he borrowed 3 coins. So Rav Shimon Elazar says that this is a case, a Moed of a Mixus. The Malva says 5. The Loiva says 3. And that's a case of Yeshava, as we just said a moment ago. Whenever you have a Moed of a Mixus, the Torah tells us you have to swear. Rav Akiva says that it's considered a Meshav Avoida. Why is it considered a Meshav Aveda? Because the Loiva could have said 2. Since the document doesn't clearly spell out how much was lent, so he could say that when it says a Lashon Rabbim, the Lashon Rabbim, the minimum of a Lashon Rabbim is 2. So the fact that instead of saying 2, he said 3, that makes him a Meshav Aveda. He gave back lost money, money that he didn't have to give back. And since he gave back money that he didn't have to give back, so that's considered a meshiv aveda. So says the Gemara, filo Rabbi Kiva dav meshiv aveda, hanimila hecha deleka, and the halacha is that he could collect that, and it's not considered moedim mixus. Hanimila hecha deleka edim, in a place where there are edim, havel hecha deke edim, where there are edim, esuse rusu, he doesn't know, the loiva doesn't know what the malva, what the edim are going to say, and therefore he's considered a moedim mixus. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is there's a difference if you're admitting on your own or what you're doing is in the presence of edim. Maskler, Marbar of Ashi, to which Marbar of Ashi asks, Adraba, we can make a counter argument. A filler of Shimon Belozer, Damer, that we just said that case in Masechta Metzir of Shimon Elazar's opinion is that Moedim Mixus have is considered Moedim Mixus. Hanimili Hechadeleka Edim to Komasile, where there are no Edim to back him up. Aval Hechadek Edim to Komasile, where in our Gemara the Edim are backing up his claim. So certainly everybody will agree that this is considered a situation of Meshav Aveda Hava, and he wouldn't have to swear. But Rav Abba says that he does have to swear, but you can't collect from the Mishabadim. You could only collect from the Nechasim Nechayrim. And the Rishonim continue to explain one of the reasons is because we have to be concerned, given as we just explained, that there are Edom here, there's a concern that there may be a Kenunya, there may be some sort of a conspiracy between the Malva and the Loiva. And therefore, you could only go after B'nai Chayrim, not after Mishabadim.